Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down season 2, episode 18, A Night to Remember. That title doesn't just describe the episode itself, but it's going to describe this after show, because we've got the one, the only, Jordan Calloway in the house. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Come on,
look at that. No, I'm not about the dancing.
Come on,
I'm about the romancing. That's what I'm all about. Welcome everybody to the Riverdale After Show. Breaking down every episode of Riverdale every Wednesday nights on the CW. I'm your host, Frank Marin.
Hello, guys. I am Sam Davidson.
Hey, guys. I am Shay Jones filling in tonight.
And you know it's your girl, Shauna O. How y'all doing?
And, of course, Ben Bateman with us in spirit as always. The boss. You know, he's got a man of many responsibilities, out and about, yeah. You know, just greeting the fans all across the country.
I think he's hanging out with Hiram right now, actually.
Well, he might be doing that, absolutely.
Something big for the finale.
Wearing their suits.
But ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned there in the cold open, we've got the one, the only, Jordan Calloway with us here this evening. You may see him on Riverdale as Chuck Clayton. You may see him on Black Lightning as Khalil Payne, or Painkiller. He is right here, though, just as Jordan Calloway.
Yeah.
All ours.
Yay! Hey,
thank you guys. Nah, I had to. I love you guys. Come on now.
We don't like you that much.
That's fine.
Yeah, no,
I had to kick my way in here anyway. So. But they don't need to know that, right?
Yeah, the distinction of being our first returning guest.
Oh.
Look at this.
Oh. Is there like a blue ribbon or...
You just ate a whole bag of popcorn. Boom, that's your gift.
That's your gift. Yeah.
We forgot to tell you.
I will take it.
One waiting for you on the way out as well.
That's a great gift. Yeah. I can do something with popcorn. The blue ribbon I can't. So.
Right.
So we're going to jump in and talk about all about this episode. But the first thing, though, I want to ask you is, when you hear about this episode, it's been talked about for a long time, and it's going to be a musical episode. When they reach out to you and say, Jordan, we want you for this musical episode, are you like, yeah, musical? Or are you like, oh, no, musical?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely the latter. It honestly was an honor and a privilege for Roberto and the whole team to, you know, want me to come back and to do the musical part of it. I love it. Fun fact for you, when I was 10 to 11, I did Lion King over at the Pantages when it first came. So I don't know if they got footage from that, and that's where somebody had the idea, you know? Oh, he can sing. I was like, no, I can't. We made it work, though.
Who did you play in the Lion King?
Oh, it was Yang Simba, of course. Come on now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I actually heard, when it was showing, I heard the snippet of your voice. Mm-hmm. It has like a country / like soulful sound.
Yeah.
So indie.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm feeling indeed. That. Do you do that on purpose, or does it just come out like that?
Yeah, I'm going to say I do. I'm going to own that. Yeah.
You own it. Indie is your style.
Indie is my style.
And so I'm guessing you figured, like, as young Simba, I mean, it wasn't going to get any better than that. So you said, I'm just going to retire now
right.
for my singing.
Frank, you know.
I know it.
You must have had something
that's
out
right.
on
absolutely.
The
yep.
Well. Right.
I did
absolutely.
That for a Christmas play where I sang. Yeah, it was so great stuff in fifth grade.
You've been trying to hide your talent for so long, but Riverdale finally found out.
Well, Riverdale, they actually, they digged into the grave to find it. Like, the whole music team, you guys heard it. It was beautiful, well done, well orchestrated. They worked with us. They worked with me patiently, at least. But it was a lot of fun being able to just, you know, go back to the roots, work on different songs, play with it, and have a good time.
So for this, where it's you're talking about a series that's in active production where you've got to keep worrying about what's the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
How much rehearsal time do you actually get with you and the rest of the cast to start really digging into these songs?
Well, so with this episode specifically, we had rehearsals. We had voice recording and, of course, filming. For me, I was a little bit out. of it because I was going back and forth between Atlanta and Vancouver for Black Lightning. So I was flying out, and I was there for about maybe four days doing the rehearsals. That was the first part of it. I learned the rehearsals, recorded, or just grabbed it on video on my phone. And when I would have to go back, I just took that and I was practicing in my room, but learning the songs and everything. And then I believe it was the second time that I was out there that I actually was able to do the voice recording, because when we were filming some of the actual numbers, they had everybody else's recorded lyrics to the songs that they were going to and lip singing to, and I hadn't done it yet. But it all worked out well. It all got done. It was a lot. It was a lot of work. But, you know, I'm really happy with how it all came together.
As are we. It was really amazing. Yeah. Was that more demanding for you? Did that strike something in you to be like, you know what? I love the way this is a grueling schedule for this musical. I am going to go for more musicals, or I'm going to do more grueling things.
Grueling things, yes. Musicals, no. Okay. I mean, if they come up, absolutely, I embrace the challenge. I love it. It's fun. You know, we get to play, you know, as an actor, as being thespians. You know, it's a lot of fun being able to just step into a different role. So I will obviously always embrace it.
Does that mean Chuck gets to come back now that you're, you know, it's officially over, you're... Pariahship is over.
Oh, yeah, right? Oh, thank God. Oh, man, it feels good to be off the chopping block. Redeemed, you know. It's up to the writers. I'm down to come back. I love Riverdale, so...
I feel like the difference between a lot of the other DC superhero shows, mm-hmm. Filming in Vancouver,
right.
Lightning shooting in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing if you're in Vancouver working on a show, it's easy to hop over to Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been, how much of a struggle was it to kind of juggle your schedule in terms of the two shows?
It's funny. The way I look at it is, I mean, shoot, I could be without, you know? So it's a great problem to have. I mean, one of the things I look at is, like, I remember when I was without, you know, when I was just going into the auditions and, you know, callbacks and waiting and being pinned, not getting it. Anybody that's an actor, anybody, you guys know, right? So yeah. Me flying back and forth, yeah, it was, you know, it was tiring. It got sick one time because there was a cold actually going between both areas, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, it was a blessing. It was a lot of fun, and you know, it also got me into eating healthier because it allowed me to not get sick as much, you know. So it was good. It was real good. It was a wake up call to this is business.
And for those of you, I mean, to only see him on TV, being able to be up close and personal, this man is just solid granite, as I told him, head to toe,
yes.
Finely sculpted. Hardened granite.
He got it from his mama.
That's right.
Inside joke here with the Riverdale panel and Jordan Calloway.
Inside joke.
So we're going to jump in right into the episode. But before we do that, we're going to have fun breaking down this episode. But if you want to have fun and learn and grow in all areas of your life, for those that you do, we have a podcast just for you. And that's Conversations with Marie Menounos Podcast Edition, created by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Marie Menounos, and drops every single Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Marie Menounos features celebrity and influence interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, finances and more, let our Maria be the big sister you never had. So what do you have to do? You just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Marie Menounos for free. Look at that. That's why, because she loves you, and so do we. And when you do, let her know it was the ABTV team from Riverdale, especially Jordan Calloway. Got you there. Conversations with Marie Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. All right. Let's just jump into this episode.
Yes.
Let's do it.
It is a salute to Carrie. They've been talking about this musical for a long time. So First of all, everybody's been excited about this. I know Sam has been excited. She's been touting this musical and the enthusiasm for it. Did this deliver for you, Sam?
Yes, it did. It was corny and beautiful, and I love corny and beautiful. I love music and dancing. I mean, I'm not good at it, but I love watching it. I thought it was great. And it reminded me in a different way of, what was it, the episode that was earlier in the season, what was it, around Halloween, that was like kind of the vignette?
Yes.
What movie was it after? Tales of the Crypt?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it was another throwback kind of to a different genre, and I love that.
I love Carrie just so much. I just think it's so twisted, and that's why I love it. I'm a fan of twisted things for some reason.
Scary, Shay. Scary.
I don't care. It's badass. I love it. I think that how the mind works is very interesting. So when I see things like this, like, I'm just like, I need to like learn more. I need to know more. I need to dissect it for some reason. So I loved it and fulfilled all my dreams. And as Alice, as a mother, personally, it should have been Penelope, but I don't know if she can sing or not. So I'll stay with Alice because she killed her songs.
All right.
Okay. I really like that. For me, I broke it down. When I watched this, I literally looked like, okay, so Betty's mom is really kind of mean to her. Like, she does have her moments where she's really mean to her, and that's the whole idea of the mom. And you know, she wants to be nice, but she's not really nice. So I thought, saw the parallels of Betty being the good girl and Veronica being the bad boy, obviously Archie being the good boy, etc. So they all seem to just be typecast, like they cast themselves, of course. And so of course I love that. I love music. I love the dancing. Except Archie. Sorry, Archie, you did not hit the moves right.
You didn't like his.
You're gonna stop coming from a boy, KJ.
We love KJ. And if Ben was here right now, he'd be like, I'm gonna take it one for KJ. Okay. I don't care. Do what you want.
But right. Well, the one thing where he started doing the I don't know.
Right. But overall,
you look smoother, Jordan. You were popping. You're popping that vest.
Hey, you're not gonna put me in the middle of this. I'm just going to defend KJ real quick and just throw that out.
Yes, we are. I saw you popping those shoulders, baby. He was popping shoulders, hips, and legs too.
Well, here's what's fascinating is that Archie has always been the character that has been the most musically, creatively inclined. I mean, right. He sings all the time,
right?
Or he used to,
right? With his guitar,
he used to. But yeah, I mean, this episode, he let other people shine. He was doing a nice thing. Okay?
That's exactly what it was. Doing. That's exactly the line we're going with.
Okay, that's positive. I like that.
Mm-hmm. While we're talking about the pop and the vest and the smooth moves, you had a photo on your Instagram rocking your fine photo.
Yes, and yes. I did not bring them today, but I brought my taco socks for you guys.
That's beautiful.
They had me in bell bottoms and platforms. And it's funny, when I got on stage in my outfit and I saw everybody else, I looked around. Roberto, why am I the only one? Now, this is me, like, wobbling out, looking like I'm Happy Feet, right? I mean, it was, I was like, all right, that's cool. I know what this is. I know exactly what this is.
No
they
Afro?
They see soul. They see rhythm. They see moves. And they're like, all right, we can trust you. Oh, we want you to encapsulate it, and you can do it. And I was like, you're right, I can. It was funny though. My mom, she texted me and she's like, "Oh, look at you! You're so cute. Dang, hot stuff." I was like, "Okay, mom, calm down. You can't say that about your son. You must get it from your mama." Stop, mom. Literally, that was our conversation.
I love my mama.
But if I can about this episode, one of the things, because I was taking notes too.
Ooh, all right. This is Jordan's corner, everybody. Get ready.
Yo, I loved that we had on the surface, you know, it was Carrie, obviously. And then you had the sub, you had all the different stories going on behind it. But there was also the hint, the little hint with the black hood of Phantom of the Opera. Did you guys catch that?
Very nice.
I loved it.
Yes. I also caught another reference. I actually think I might have been the only one. The Bodyguard. The Whitney Houston movie with Kevin Costner. So the killer, well, not the killer, he tries to kill Whitney Houston's character, and he does it by writing letters the exact same way that they did to Cheryl, the different pieces of the magazine. And Whitney Houston would get it backstage and freak out.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You guys should watch The Bodyguard.
It's no, I remember.
We remember, honey, this is... Classic, baby. We remember, that is true. But it reminded me of Zodiac Killer. And I read that Roberto said that he was thinking about making it Sweeney Todd at first.
Yeah.
Because he was watching, I guess, Sweeney Todd in Australia, and somebody used a real razor in the middle of the play, like in real life, and slit the guy's throat. Lived. And he's like, that was like dark, like Riverdale is. Like, it's like good, but then dark. So I got the Sweeney Todd from him, and then I got the Zodiac Killer from the writers.
You know, the other thing that I picked up, too, was Blue's Clues.
What?
mail time, right?
No? Jordan.
Okay, I guess that was a rage.
Because they are casting for a new host, so, you know, that's appropriate.
He waited until I was really serious, and then
have a lot of co-hosts here that have auditioned for Blue's Clues.
Yes, true.
Now, we were talking before we went live here, is that they're in part of your wardrobe, they're thinking about perhaps adding an afro. Yes. And it never really reached fruition.
Right. Well, yeah, there was a... We'll just leave it at there was, you know, people wanted to touch the hair, but people couldn't touch the hair.
You don't touch the fro, first of all.
You know.
You know, just two different shows. You got to, you know, make sure you look the same, so.
I do like that. Blake, the producer, Blake Lane, said, no, you can have Jordan for this episode, but we'll be damned if you touch his hair.
It was all good and resolved in the end. It all worked out. That's both wonderful. Berlanti shows. I'm happy to be on both of them. So, I love it.
Speaking of the dreads, somebody, Billie Jean in the chat wants to know, did you like wearing the dreads?
Billie Jean, what's up?
In the chat. Did you like wearing the dreads during Black Lightning?
Yo, I mean, yeah. Come on now. I mean, I really did enjoy it. The reason why is because I never had dreads before. I mean, like, the furthest I got was cornrows. Like, every other boy did back in the 2000s, right? There was that whole phase. But when I got dreads, I was like, I'm with it.
Were you swinging them like this at the beach or no?
You saw the video.
Okay.
It's on my Instagram.
Well, as somebody who loves comic books and is actively working on making your own, for to be one an Archie universe based on a comic book, but to really be in Black Lightning, which is, you know, just a tried and true superhero comic, what's it like to actually be in a superhero kind of comic book type show brought to life?
I mean, it's like, you know, you're the wildest dreams coming true. It's a kid. I mean, you grow up watching these things. I mean, like we talked before, I'm a huge Batman fan, right? Huge nerd, huge geek. I love it. And I embrace it. I embrace who I am. But I didn't even know that who my character was when I first did like the first two or three episodes of Black Lightning. And then I believe it was Salim, he just hit me. Or no, it was Oz. He was like, here, yeah, this is going to be you. He showed me the photo of what Painkiller looked. I was like, oh, yes. Oh, yes. I found out when it was Benny Boone that was directing the episode. And I was like, oh, I got to work out even more. Benny's like, no, because you're going to look too big. I was like, nah, I need to get huge.
I'm a superhero.
Like, I'm a super villain, too. Right, so yeah, it's like, I got to look. And he's like, no, trust me. Just calm down. Okay. Get a little extra rep in there once in a while.
I mean, you stop that lady's heart one punch.
With a dart.
I didn't want to say it, but you know, when I saw it, I was like, I did that.
That's right. That's it.
I did do that.
See, that's why they didn't want you to work out so much.
I guess.
Like, no, damn, Jordan.
I am ready for that fight between you and Jen.
You know,
that fight is going to be everything in life. Unfortunately, I feel like you're going to lose. I'm so sorry about that, Painkiller.
I feel like it's kind of been written. I feel like, obviously. So I can embrace it. It's all right.
Well, what about Chuck, guys?
Yes.
What that's... about Chuck?
Well, yes. So we get him. I basically say he's on his redemption tour.
Yeah, I'm so happy he's redeemed. I'm so tired of people saying, I don't like you.
Right.
You're
on the street?
Like, no, on the street, on social media, I'm just, oh, man, geez. And it's like, I'm happy because this whole season, you know, they allowed Chuck to go through the process of redemption, you know? And so I'm very grateful that, you know, they took their time doing that. I mean, through the course of this second season, for me, as being able to portray Chuck, I was very happy with the fact that they allowed him to have his different angst where he was trying to get a girlfriend, trying to prove to everybody, yeah, I'm different. No, okay, you fail. You try and fail. And I think it's something that, you know, a lot of people can definitely relate to when it's like, I want to turn a new leaf. I want people to see me in a different light. I know what I did. But, you know, Chuck, it's one of the sayings my grandfather told me. He's like, don't let your past paralyze your future. And honestly, it's like, you look at Chuck and he stayed the course and, you know, his reward was shown. He was accepted.
Yeah, his pariah ship was canceled.
That's true. I do like that scene. Yes.
Which, by the way, for all of you out there who don't know what that means, it means that he's no longer an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
So just want to clear that up.
For the moment.
I do like that scene where, just before they say that you're kind of like back in the fold, where we have Chick showing up there at the backstage to wish Betty for a good luck. And she just is like, you got to go away.
Right.
And Chuck in that scene just feels like, do I really want to be more involved with these people?
You know, I mean, you got to see that. I mean, I'm seeing crazy people coming around, people dying and everything. I was like, hold up now.
Maybe I shouldn't have been a part of this play.
Right.
I thought it was more like him wanting to try to bring Dark Betty out for some reason, only because I just like.
Listen, Shay, that part of Chuck is gone.
I know. All right?
He's gone. Sam, he's gone. I'm saying it now.
What I will say is people tend to forget that these are high school students, even though it's such a twisted, like Penelope's mom, Penelope said, it's a twisted place, but they're still high school students. Mm-hmm. So he's finding himself. He's discovering himself.
Absolutely.
I mean, he probably started off as this jock who was,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
doing this thing. And now you got told.
Right.
What happened was Veronica didn't go for that.
Right. No, yeah. And it was
for that disrespect.
Absolutely, absolutely understandable. And the thing about it, too, is like... Chuck, his character, he actually does have a relationship with Josie, you know, if you want to do ships.
Mm-hmm.
But
I am
he Josie. He does have a relationship with Josie in the comics, and he's, you know, an artist. He loves to draw, and he's one of the guys that's actually been relatable throughout the comics. I'm sure you've read them. So that's who Chuck actually was, you know, and is. So hopefully you guys see that side of Chuck, too.
I'm ready. I'm easy. I'm really easy. If a fine guy say I'm better, I'll be like, okay, yes, I know how you are.
What about the ladies? We have so much to talk about Betty and Veronica.
Well, what's first is we're talking about, of course, we're talking about high schoolers.
Yes.
Everybody's like, but we don't have necessarily a high schooler involved in this. We also have Alice Cooper, who's brought on the play by Kevin because he likes age inappropriate casting for this. How do we like Alice Cooper's mix in with this? This is again like her working with Betty and Jughead on the school newspaper.
I love the idea that Alice is the mom who is almost the villain. Just like she said, the parallels, like you can definitely see them. Though Alice really wants to do right by Betty. She wants to be, you know, nicer, and she's tired of their not broken but fragile existence right now in the house. So I actually like the fact that she's trying to, like, actually, like, I want to spend time with my daughter. Mm. And if this is the way to do it, I'm down.
Mm-mm. I think Alec, that's my brother's name. Jesus Christ. Alice is still stuck in high school, as we can see by her relationships. You know, we see a love triangle going on that I'm assuming went on in high school.
Yeah.
Right?
Revisit. Right? How? FP?
I'm just really angry they cut out the scene where she told Hal who Chick's father was.
Well, of course. We're going to find that out later in the season.
Well, I thought... We've waited.
We thought it was
long
enough.
There's a lot that go in. There's a lot of pages to the scripts, so I had to cut out quite a bit.
For the three of you, if your mom decided to kind of get involved in your extracurricular activities as a way to kind of maybe be closer to you, would you be all cool with that? Or be like, Mom, I love you, but I need to do my own thing. You do your own thing. We'll hang out, you know, some other way.
Mm. Well, if you're asking me, first of all, I'm a mommy.
She is.
I have a little girl. She's 12. So, yeah, I'm going to be there. I don't have, like, emotional issues to the point where I'm going to be like, don't leave me on stage in front of everybody. Let me tell you, what I wrote. So cringy.
She had to look at the page for that.
So cringy. Like, what are you doing? You out here putting our business out here. You on the stage, girl. You better go to the backstage, cry it up, wipe it off, and come out like, my daughter's great.
It's not like something she had done before. So,
but this is high school, okay? I can get dragged and ended. You do not come on stage and say, don't leave me, Betty. Oh, that's how I felt. I don't know. I guess am I a mom hater? But I'm a mom.
You can be a mom hater.
I'll work on
mom.
Those things, but I wouldn't do that to my child.
No.
I'll keep it to myself.
Yeah, no, not chill.
I would be cool. I wouldn't care. Me and my mom were kind of like seriously like this. So she knew everything that was happening in my life in high school. I would tell her everything. My friend would be like, you told your mom? Like, yep, she knows. She good. She cool. She great.
Oh,
we're great.
Yeah, depends on
actually,
the mom.
Jordan, you love your mother a lot. How would you feel if she, you know, was in a play that you were in and she was singing to... A character just said, you know, Jordan, it's you I'm singing to. Don't leave me here.
Don't leave me alone.
You know what? That's my queen, so I would go up there and embrace her.
Aww. Just like Betty did.
Yeah.
He knows how to answer this question, you guys.
Yeah. He knows this is being watched.
Exactly. Tony Louise Calloway would not take anything less.
That's right.
Hey, Tony.
Hi.
We all love your son. He's granite. I told you that.
I feel bad for FP, though, but I'm also at the same time like, dude, where's your servantness? Why aren't you fighting?
Mm.
Like, because it's almost like he's reverting back to high school, too. Like, he's the cool guy, but... almost scared to grab what he wants for some reason. I'm just like, dude, if you want Alice, don't be a dick. And go grab her.
It's complications, you guys. They're adults. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, hoops you need to jump through.
He probably feels like, I mean, he works at the diner, you know, he just, like, Hiram just allowed him to keep his place. I mean, he's not really stable to be talking about a relationship right now anyways.
If, say that he had reciprocated Alice's overtures for him over at the Pop's chocolate shop, do you think she would have taken Hal back?
No.
Boom. So it's just Hal, just her safety net, just a consolation prize.
A little, unfortunately, it feels that way. Like, I mean, not to say she doesn't love Hal because they've had many years together, but I'm sorry, dude, after decades, you don't know what I'm allergic to. I would have an issue with that.
I have a lot of allergies. I would be very upset.
Jordan, do you feel like she was going to take Hal back anyways because that was her foundation, or do you feel like she's just settling?
I feel... I'm going to answer with y'all. Yeah, no, she's not going to take him back.
She took him back, right?
Ish, it seems this way.
She took him back, but I mean, did she really, though? Like, okay, physically she took him back, but where's her heart?
She wants to have someone to sleep with.
Ladies, let's talk. Yeah. Where's her heart?
It's obviously with Skeet Ulrich. Yes. I don't care that he's the killer of Scream, but my heart is with him.
Always.
Always and forever.
Okay. He's definitely a Dilfy. Calm down.
FP. All the way. But, pardon me for being a bit crude. However, FP is an F-boy. You guys know what that is out there. And he is still...
What is that?
He,
letter boy?
What's
that?
He likes to fart.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
But question. Who is he effing with,
everyone does it. Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
All right. So. Yes.
No. Who is he effing with? Nobody. I'm just saying, though, like, if he is that, we would see other women. I haven't seen one.
That is true. You gonna let her talk about Skeet like that? I wouldn't.
I'm saying facts on both sides.
Is let you instigate this
I'm
panel.
I'm not instigating anything. I'm just sitting here sipping this water.
Yeah. We do see him at the end of the episode, right before the musical starts, where he goes to see, even though Alice is like, you should come and see me. I'm busy. I'm working. And he does go to see her until he sees Hal going up to help her on stage, and then he just walks
out. That is true. So who technically would be the F person in that situation? If somebody's leading someone on and then...
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But I don't... Would it
be Alice?
Do you think Alice is leading anybody on?
But I mean, she went to him first
and told him to come and then
got mad at him, and then he shows up and...
She don't know. First of all, she doesn't know he showed up, and he didn't stay. So, dude, there's a lot of growing up on all sides that need to be had.
Also, because he didn't know, that means it's okay.
We're not saying.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Help me real quick. Get it. It is, first of all, Alice has no way of being an F boy because that doesn't even
That's
make sense.
That's not. No.
But
no.
What I will say is, she went over there. She gave her attempt. She stormed out with a very strong statement.
She did.
I see we're still making the same mistakes as we did when we were in high school. Mm. Every guy knows that you need to run after her.
Meacham is wonderful. I love her. She's great. She's so wonderful. Cool.
He didn't run after her. He gave her attitude. He blew her off, and I think it was his own insecurity that made him do that. But that's not her fault. She said, well, I'm moving on.
Kick rocks.
Okay, but so you agree with me, or are you saying...
I just needed the explanation.
Okay,
that's all.
Well, I have you.
All right, let's get into two ladies that Sam is dying to talk about.
Oh, yes.
And that is Betty and Alice.
V&B.
Betty and Alice?
No, Betty and Alice. Betty and Veronica.
I mean, I love Betty and Alice as well. There we go. But Betty and Veronica.
Yes.
Okay, so they made up through song. I love it.
Me too.
But,
definitely.
You know, we're switching from dark Betty to light Betty, except without the wig, so it's confusing.
I was taken aback when she revealed herself in front of everyone. Ew. They were all... Betty, dark Betty came out. Sitting there, she read Veronica for filth.
Well, she was...
About being a spoiled white rich girl. About spoiled rich girl.
Yeah.
About being... trying to use Daddy's and control issues. Her friends. Yeah. Daddy check, issues.
Check. It looked like the roast of Veronica Lodge.
Yeah, and there's a camera. I felt like I was watching the Kardashians, you know? Betty gets a camera put in front of her. I love the differentiation. Okay, yes. Guys, I did it. But when Jughead was filming kind of this Blair Witch reality show vibe to the way we actually see Riverdale, And it's totally different. Mm-hmm. You know, you think what they're saying is so stupid, almost when we see it through Jughead's lens in a way, but then when we see it through the way we always watch Riverdale,
right,
it makes sense.
Right. And you know, I have to say, Jason, like, the director, that's just his vision. Like, him being able to see that. I mean, you see how the show is, like, beautiful colors. Cinematically, it's well done. Angles, composition, it's wonderful. It's a great piece of work to look at. And then you see how he just juxtaposes it with the way that Jughead uses that camera, and it's like grainy and it's mm-hmm. off-putting, and it's reality of high school.
Speaking of Cole for a second, did he give money to the writers? Say, you know what? I don't want to sing. So
yeah, let no, me just... he said he didn't want to sing. Lily said she wanted to spill blood on him more than anyone else in an interview. They said, who would you carry? And she said Cole, because he refused to sing and dance. If you guys didn't see that, she said that.
Jordan is keeping his head down. That's a sign to move on.
I'm not trying to be the black sheep again, all right? This is a reminder.
Well, you know who is the black sheep?
Go for it.
Oh, I was going to go into how, like, Archie, with the whole car thing, because that kind of got me. I love cars. First of all, he got a Firebird. Okay.
Which is
yeah,
a
I got an issue it's with a that. He should have. I put it in my notes. He should have slid me the keys. literally put that right here.
Or uh-huh. me, yeah.
Or me,
right.
Archie should have slid Chuck the keys to the Firebird.
Chuck, you're not a pariah anymore. Here's some car keys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I will say, though, I feel like the real Chuck would have been like, screw all this, I'm going to take the car.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that Chuck would have then been Hiram's, like, what is it called, flunky? Flunky.
No,
no.
Protege?
No.
Protege.
No.
That's a better word. Uh-uh. Bitch.
Nuh-uh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well.
Well, that's what Archie was, essentially.
Well, tell us, but I just didn't expect it to come so strong in my ear like that.
I like it.
We finally see in this episode where Archie finally decides to stick with his dad.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this moment was kind of earned? Because I also feel like Luke Perry, as much as I love him, we haven't got a lot of him this season.
Yeah.
So I feel like the relationship between Archie and his dad has not been as strong for us to... For me to really like, yes,
especially
making
with him
it stand.
Almost losing him in the beginning. And I mean, I love the line that he put that is said. He tells his father, he says, needs a lot of work, but I'm up for it if you are, you know. And that's obviously not just speaking of the car, but it's speaking of their relationship. And yeah. I love the fact that they put that in there, because hopefully that's something that we can see transition into the third season, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
The relationship between him and his dad.
Yeah.
Blood is thicker than water, no matter what.
To Cheryl.
Not to what?
Not to Cheryl.
Oh, well, she
uses... Well, I mean, Stephanie Rose.
Well, she just wears blood, that's all.
Yeah. Should we talk about Cheryl?
Yeah, one thing is, we're talking about a shout-out to Archie and his dad in the car.
Yeah.
That good old junker that he bought, just a nice homage to a lot of the car and the comic book covers, the car that Archie would drive around.
It kind of reminded me of Footloose in that moment, a little bit. Like, just something that needs work, and, like, you're going to build it up into something that hopefully works.
But this town can sing, and they can dance.
And I saw the tear, like the little choking up moment from Fred, that he did understand the duality of the statement that his son was willing to work on their relationship. And he had already shown him his dedication already by still coming to the musical. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just time for them to come together. This, actually, like Roberto did say, this was a time to focus on fractured friendships.
Mm-hmm.
So including Fred and his son. Fred and the Lodges even had a little run-in that I think is going to either result in them getting out of there or coming together. So it's like friendships are being reconnected?
They're being
reconnected. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, one friendship that was kind of reaffirmed, and I don't know if I really like, but that was Cheryl and Josie.
Right.
Yeah. During the course of that song, I'm just like, okay.
They
sure.
sang their butts off.
Yo,
though.
The yeah. song was dope.
Yes.
Like,
was
they
dope.
Sang, they, oh my yeah. God. So I can look past if it's like, I don't know if she earned it yet. I mean, but dang, M girl.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like harmony. The fact that Cheryl acknowledged the reason why Josie was mad at her, like that's, I think in Josie's eyes, a big step for her.
Right.
So that's the first step in me forgiving you and working on our friendship. I'm not saying Josie completely maybe forgive her yet, but it's very a nice step in the right direction they need to go in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, with Cheryl, I feel like she's, for every two steps forward, she also takes a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a little bit of that at the beginning of this episode, where she's just got to make sure everybody knows she's got to stand up and tell her, hey, I'm Carrie, and this is why.
Well, she was right. She is Carrie. And I'm kind of pissed that we didn't get to see her on stage in front of the audience being Carrie.
Now, we, given how the episode ends, I guess we should be thankful that we didn't get to.
Oh, you know what? She would have figured it out.
Okay.
Poor Midge.
All right.
Yeah. Speaking of Midge, like, the fact that she was the person... Right, R.I.P. The fact that she was the person that they chose, though, I just didn't...
I didn't understand it either.
But now I do, because it was like, she could get killed off. You know?
Okay.
I was honestly, when I first was reading it, I was like, oh, they're going to redeem me, and I die.
Ooh, that's true. Yep.
I was like, oh. Okay. I was reading this thing like a Game of Thrones script, y'all. I'm serious. Y'all. I was like, wait, wait. Do I make it to page 60? Okay, I'm good.
Well, before we jump into Midge, to wrap up with Cheryl, I mean, she does kind of want to get emancipated. So a little pep talk from Tony gets her to really go full Carrie. We at least get to see her go full Carrie to her mom.
Shauna and I were dying. It was when she goes into her house to her mother, and she just has the blood and everything and threatens her mom.
Well, not only threatens her mom, she says, this is Jason's blood and daddy's blood. And the mom says, oh, Cheryl. Oh, dear God.
Nightmare child.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like when you're being dramatic to your mother and you think you're going to really scare her, piss her off in high school. And she just goes, oh, come on. Like, what is wrong with you, Cheryl? God, blood all over you. Just talking about all the deaths in our family. She's not classy.
But she should know better. I'm like, I burned down a house. If you really think I won't burn down healthy. This one,
yeah.
You must not know I am your daughter.
Did you see how she reacted when she brought that the candle up? Oh, yeah, she got a healthy fear of fire now.
Yeah, she said, nightmare child, what do you want from me? I love that. Yes.
She also refers to her mom as and her uncle as pig people.
Right.
Oh, yes. You guys.
So go live amongst the pigs.
I was telling everybody around me, y'all, you know I love something that's a little bit ratch. She called people pig people. I got, anybody want to mess with me? You don't want to valet park my car, you pig person? I would never really call anybody that, but it's just so hilarious that she chose those words.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Well, it all culminates here at the night. It's Saturday night. It's the night of the play, the musical. And some little, we see Jughead kind of going around, capturing some of the moments there. He does come across Ethel's room, where we do see some cut-up magazines that kind of resemble what we saw from those letters from the Black Hood, threatening to, if you don't get rid of Cheryl, you know, bad things are coming.
Mm-hmm. Or it was a Black Hood imitator, is what I think they thought at the beginning, you know, just someone just trying to scare somebody else.
True, we've mentioned a low-stakes thing for the Black Hood to be worried about, as they said.
Mm-hmm. No, but, okay, so I feel like an egg they dropped, though, is, you know, when Ethel's like, my life is Carrie. Which means bitch is about to snap. Like she's on a tight rope, but she's about to come on the other side, and it's gonna be blood everywhere. And she lied.
Shay, you're scary.
Yeah, I'm just saying. She still lied. She was like, "I am not a violent person. I don't harm others." Okay, violent people don't just throw, like, non-violent people don't just throw smoothies in somebody's face or clothes. Because you destroyed my life. Mm. That's not what a nonviolent person does. They take the higher road.
Mm. Well, I mean, a nonviolent person, like, she didn't have a knife. It's a smoothie.
It's just a slushy. Doesn't matter. I don't care. All
right.
A weapon is a weapon.
I agree. I think she's fishy. I don't trust her.
I don't know if she's necessarily the Black Hood. I mean, I could buy that she set these out at the beginning to just kind of ride the Black Hood wave. And then the real Black Hood jumped on that.
Right.
And to make things happen.
But how would he know?
I've always thought that the Black Hood is several people. And I'm still sure it is. And he can have disciples, almost. You know, people that are sensitive, easy to manipulate, that have been hurt and harmed by the people that he is trying to take down. So Ethel is an easy person to kind of do his bidding.
Yeah, and she just claimed she was doing her vision board. But where's the vision board? What is your vision?
And Ethel? Why would your vision board be anywhere at school? Why didn't you do it at your house?
But I also know, like, if you're going to cut up a bunch of magazines and start throwing out, like, fake notes... Why would you keep those still in your dressing room, too? Get rid of that evidence.
She's in high school, though. She ain't that. She's the smartest.
Oh, come on. We've watched CSI. On the roll. But it culminates. We do see some tension before we see the final reveal in the musical. We do see Moose kind of storming by through passing Jughead, kind of pushes him to the side. We do see the door open there with Midge and
Fang.
Yes. So they look like they were getting a little freaky deaky.
And then earlier, Fang, you know, touched Kevin.
Yes, and Kevin was like, not this moment. Hold on.
And they also, I don't know who it was because it was moving so fast, but there was a part on the song where it says, "We better get laid." And Kevin and a guy were facing each other, and Kevin's like, "Ooh." Like, so what was that? Who was that? Fangs?
Or was that Fang? Fang. Yeah.
So something is going on, but they were.
There's a lot of fluidity.
There's some down low brothers on here.
Oh. Well,
I was
know
in Freeland. Yeah.
So, Jordan, as somebody that was not actively involved in every episode this season, but kind of keeping up to date on where the storyline's going, for you coming into it this late in the season, were you kind of having your kind of detective's hat on going like, I think I know? Or did they already tell you what the deal was and so you already know what the deal is?
Oh, no, they never told me, okay. But I know people and they told me. I'm not saying names, though.
Absolutely.
So... But yeah, you know, this season it was just coming in like it was like, okay, I'm here to show up. I'm happy to be here. And what's going on? Oh, this is going on. Oh, shoot. Okay, so we got these relationships now. It literally was me getting caught up, you know, when we were doing the filming. But it was good. I got caught up.
Was it like going abroad in college?
It kind of was, you know. But it was like surreal because it's like this is home and everybody knows you and they're like, oh, you're back, yay! And I'm like, I just blended right back in, you know. Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, what's going on? You know, I need the download. What's the story? What's going on? But
well, we end the episode with Midge being impaled onto the back of the set. And as the camera, Jug gets holding the camera, everybody starts freaking out and running off. But we do see Chick just sitting there motionless for a hot second. He's not moving. So it's like, good old creepy Chick.
Oh, yeah. Somebody in the chat actually asked because I personally did not notice that. And I was just like, dang, I wish I caught it now. Now I have to like rewatch that part. Because first of all, dude is creepy, obviously.
Hart is a sweetheart, though. He's a sweetheart.
Okay, so if anything, your theory is the disciples. Chick is definitely, I feel like he's definitely in the Black Hood omnis area of if it's not Ethel, Chick is definitely a high priority for me in who's who on this like Black Hoodness.
Double agent.
No. Right. Dude's like crazy as hell. He embraces it.
They did say that they want to try to keep him on as a character more, so they tried to soften him a little bit. I noticed that his eyes were closed a little bit this time. Because usually he's on the camera like and I'm like, oh my god, every time I see him you're so striking, but this time he kept it a little low, so I was okay to deal with him. But then at the end he was back to the wide look again.
I don't know, I feel like there's too many things that suspect is true, that it's FP analysis child. I feel like there's still too much that you can do with Chick, that to have him just be agent of the Black Hood would be kind of they were taking him off the canvas like that. I mean, there's so much more story we could get out of him.
Yeah. They put too much work into him
to
really do that. And I think that it's going to blend with the dichotomy of Betty, you know, the dark and the light. And she was totally nuts this episode, I thought. I really thought she was crazier than ever, even when she's dark Betty. Whoa, when you sing, you can just act like that. You can just be mean to everybody.
That's what
judgy.
You want. But Jughead, came and talked to her. I mean, that's
no,
what you want.
Archie.
Archie, yeah, gave her, yes. So you want that best friend that's going to be able to call you on yourself.
That's the only thing I say I don't like right now about Archie is the fact that even though he's covering for Veronica, he's also covering for himself. Because he won't admit, like, you didn't know about what was happening.
Yeah.
He knew what was happening. Like, that's worse.
Agreed.
Our boy Archie. All right, we've talked about the episode, but one thing we haven't discussed is it's a musical. We've got a bunch of songs in there.
Bunch of songs.
So what were the songs that everybody kind of really enjoyed?
Me, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. And mind you, I don't know if that's the name of the song. That's what they continued to say over and over again. That got stuck in my mind. So You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
What's my name that Cheryl did? Like when she was like, y'all don't think I can do this?
No.
Yeah, that was... She killed that just opening line. It was so powerful. And first of all, I was like, yes.
What was the song with Betty and Veronica? Because I loved it.
I wrote down
it was something just, love.
Yeah. Super into whatever that song was. And probably, I mean, hopefully they'll be on Spotify within the next week. So
right,
we'll know what I'll be listening to for the next 6 months.
I told you guys I write down a zillion things and can't find it. all that. I don't know what the name is, but it was bomb.
I enjoyed Veronica's song. And I especially enjoyed you just kind of just be able to just sit back and watch that scene happen.
That was a great song.
Hey, yeah. Yeah. No, he didn't just sit.
I was a spectator like all of us, even on the day of filming. So I was there. No, but I loved A Night You'll Never Forget. I loved, I really loved Maddie
And Josie.
Yes. Their song. I love that one. They killed that song. They just killed it. And then I also liked the opening song, In. The reason why is because it always reminds me of a Goofy movie. Remember what was the song for the Goofy movie when they first go to school and everything?
Oh, that,
yes. The one that they open up with. Man, look it up. Go find it.
Honestly,
if you're a 90s kid, y'all know.
I know what he's talking about, you guys. If you know, let us know in the chat by dropping us down a little 90. Put a 90 if you know what he's talking about.
I also love the fact that they're bringing back Goofy movie like shirts, like the Electric Shock, like the vintage ones. It's just like it warms my heart. Thank you so much.
Powerline, man. Sick. We just went down memory lane. All right, anyway, back to the show.
So for you, how many days was the filming for that scene with Veronica and you just sitting there, you know, just taking a load off? Just like, all right, you do your choreography and sing.
That's the thing, man. We did that. We did that in one day, but we were on that stage, I want to say 2 days, I think. I honestly forget because it all got jumbled between those projects. But yeah, we knocked that out. All the stage stuff, I believe it was in 1 week we knocked all that out. But it was so many moving parts. We were also at the school as well, and we were on that stage. Because the stage that you saw on with the wide shots and everything with the seats in there, that was at the school. And then we also had... another stage where you saw a lot of the end performance with the big number piece where we ran out doing the dance and everything. So that was shorter while we were over there. But all of the dressing rooms and everything in that area, that was also at that stage as well. So we were on two different locations when it came to the day of. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of work.
Does any part of you feel bad watching them have to do that choreography again and again while in that scene? Or you're like, I'm glad I don't.
Let me, I should have said this first and foremost. I got to give a huge shout out to the dancing, to the dance team. I mean, they absolutely killed it. They were wonderful. They're amazing. And I'm blanking on all of their names right now, and I am complete jerk for it. But it was funny because... It was the week before where I posted up a photo of all of us that we took, and I tagged them all in there. And I was like, tune in tonight, because I'm pretty bad. Actually, it wasn't even last week. It was 2 weeks before. And they're like, everybody's comments were like, wait, I thought it came the 18th. Did I miss it? And I was like, oh, shit. And I just erased it. Yeah, but I have them all tagged in there. I'm gonna post it up. But they killed it. They did a great job. That whole the whole dance team.
Yeah, and I mean, I will just say, Lily seems like I think that she's gonna be one of the biggest actresses for all. I think she's gonna become a huge movie star. I think that she's insanely talented. I love her so much.
Yes, and Camilla, she has her new movie. She's
Camilla too. No, 100%.
The stand-in's gonna be lit.
And but, Camilla's coming out with music too, right?
Yeah. Just it's.
I didn't even know that.
Lily just surprises me because you know she's Betty Basic, and it's all you kind of underestimate her.
Betty Basic.
Betty is That's basic. Gonna be new. You know. All right, but I think she's so awesome, and she was amazing in this.
Well,
big fan. Also, a Clevelander like me. So.
Well, there you go. Cleveland rocks. As Drew Carey says, we should do some predictions because I know Jordan's got a lot of predictions that he wants to share with us.
I'm not saying anything.
What?
I'm not saying anything.
What?
You have to join us.
Right. Oh.
Who wants to start?
Mine are very short, so I think I should start. Okay. I think that Chick, like I told you, they're trying to make him more likable. I think he's going to try to pull a hero move on us and be like, I saw something or something happened. He is a little bit quiet, so he might tell it to Kevin. That's how I'm feeling, because, you know, they have their thing.
Under the sheets, yeah.
Right. I forgot to ask Jordan about the ships, but I'm loving the idea of Shoni, Chuck, and Josie. Chosie.
Yeah.
Chuck
so you guys Josie. Like that, yeah?
I like that.
Because, I mean, Josie is going between myself and Reggie, I believe. That's been the other thing.
Reggie can go. He's so mean. We want Chuck.
We're here for you.
Yeah, so, and then we got to see a little bit of Shoni. By the way, they said if this show gets a lot of, like, love, they're going to release extra scenes that they had, which include more Shoni. So, guys, go show love, go like, go to Jordan Calloway's page, like, et cetera, et cetera. Come to After Moon TV.
But not Shoni.
No, they have more Shoni in these extra episodes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Perfect. Yeah. Oh, Shoni. Okay.
Shoni and Cheryl.
I got lost in translation.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I think we're going to see a little bit more of them next time. So, yay.
I actually was a little bummed that it wasn't more Cheryl and Tony, I will say. But prediction wise, I think even though Archie did choose a side, I feel like the next episode he's really going to have to decide, like, are you going to be in Lodge or are you going to be in Andrews? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's really going to, like, it's gonna something that's going to come to a head even bigger than what's been happening, and I'm so looking forward to that. I actually, for some reason, want more scenes between Penelope and Cheryl, because just the craziness is awesome.
Yeah,
it is just amazing together. And Chick, if he, not double agent, but, like, he's going to, if he's a double agent, he's trying to be a good person, even though he's a bad person. If I made some sense in that. I'm hoping I did.
I get that. I think he's a double agent, but he started bad and will, you know, he's going to be tied between both sides. I think that Hermione is apparently the next Donald Trump of Riverdale.
Yeah.
You know.
Like advertising on high school playbills.
And also, Playbill, I mean, how do they get that in high school, right? Isn't that
well, Lodge is funding it, so they can do what they want.
They can do what they want, yeah, and that's money.
Yeah, so it's a little scary there. I'm not looking forward to what's going to... I love Hermione. I just love her. We were rooting for her, but I'm not really rooting for her anymore. I think
What do you think of that scene where her and Lodge are talking, and she's talking about the relationship between Fred and Archie? And he says, oh, well, let's push it. We'll keep them apart. And you look back at Hermione's face, and you can see that she seems like she kind of regrets that idea.
Yeah, okay. She feels bad. She's still going to do it. I don't know. And I think that I said this to Jordan before. I am team Veronica and Chuck. I don't know what it is, guys. Her and Archie, I just don't think they bring out the best in each other.
Right? But...
And you think Chuck can? I mean, Chuck's redeemed. He's redeemed, but let Chuck get his feet together.
Well, you know, if she goes down a dark alley, you know, perhaps, and is like, I don't know who I am anymore because me and Archie aren't together, and then Chuck is going to be there and say, hey, I know who you are.
That sounded creepy. That sounded creepy.
Well, Chuck's a little creepy, okay? But we love him.
And Veronica doesn't forget who she is. She's serious business.
I love Veronica, though, but she's 16, right? I'm correcting her age, where you're sipping, like, this China tea in this, like, silk top and bottom, and you have your glasses on. It's just, like, very, like, Sex and the City in a way. People. Very rich, right?
Right.
That's what they
do. And the only thing, I mean... It's like the old adage, you know, Veronica, she can't go, you know, because she won't go back.
Right.
There you go. Okay. Yep.
Just saying.
So, I mean, Jordan, we've turned off the live stream, so it's just us. We're just shooting the breezes, you know, just pals. So who's the killer? Who's the Black Hood?
Frank, you tried to be terrible.
All right. Just trying there. Right there.
Frank was evil.
What are your predictions down there? What are your predictions?
I feel like they've already said that they didn't have an idea of who the Black Hood was going to be, and they're just kind of making it up as they go along. And I'm hoping the resolution is good.
I will just say Frank is wearing a red hood right now, like he said, so...
That's right. She's like, I'm heading into the forest after the show.
You never know. I mean, it could be him.
You got to have your shirt off too, right? That's the thing, right?
Red Riding Hood.
There you go. I have not been doing the workouts that you and KJ have been doing yet.
Well, you're good.
Oh, no, all right. At least tell me that. Were you bummed or you were glad that you missed out on the episode where Archie and the crew decided to do that video where they took the shirts off and were in ski masks?
Oh, no. I totally understood. That was fine. I was okay.
Wow.
I was like, yo, I'm not trying to compete with all of that, man.
I think you might have had some FOMO in that one, right? You weren't there and you're like, dang.
No, I was cool. I was good. Really.
I had some FOMO without you being there, and I'm sad.
I did not, because I went to town on that one. If you guys want to check back that episode we did, I went to town on that one. Frank remembers.
Oh, yeah.
I was. Ooh.
Yep, she just gobbled that all up.
See, that's it.
Wow. All right. Wow.
That makes no sense.
It's getting late here at AfterBuzz TV. Yes. Apologies.
We are running late, and you know what? Jordan Calloway is so kind to come, and he's got a big audition tomorrow.
Oh, he does.
Absolutely. But he was kind enough to come out and hang out with us. Jordan, before we let you go, if everybody wants to follow everything you're doing, whether it's getting ready for season 2 of Black Lightning, whether it's getting ready for season 3 of Riverdale,
I'm simple.
Just working on your comic book, where can they follow you?
You're doing all my plugs. I love it. I was not going to talk about nothing. No, I appreciate it. I really do. You guys can, I'm simple, J_Calloway6. That is my Instagram page. You guys can check that out. And like you were saying, my graphic novel that I've been working on, have not been releasing it anything, but it's Spirits of Eden, and you guys can go check that out. And we're just releasing some of the artwork, old artwork, on that. And then Twitter is, I'm terrible, Jordan Calloway, I think something.
Cool. I like that he feigns ignorance, guys. He's all dialed in. Trust me, he knows what's all up. And you're kickstarting Spirits of Eden?
Yeah, we're doing that. We're working on that and getting that whole thing together. So.
All right. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on the Riverdale After Show. Of course, as always, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Feel free to give it a thumbs up. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. We know you love to hear your theories. And I know Sam likes to go back with a nice glass of Chianti and just rewatch the show and look at all your theories
like
and speculations
five
as well.
Times.
That's right. But if you want to continue the conversation with any of us after the show's over, Sam, where can they find you?
They can find me at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram and SamDavidsEntertainment.com. I love you guys, and I love the show.
Hey, guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones. You wouldn't be able to find me on Black Lightning, but it's over today, and I'm still upset about that. Aww. But, yeah, my heart. But season 2, guys.
Season 2.
Yeah.
And I'm your girl, as always, Shauna O. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at DShauna O. And also, tonight on the Star on Fox After Show, I love this show and I love you, and I'll be responding to all your comments, so get in there.
Folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. You know, Jordan loves nothing more than to follow my posts and photos constantly.
Obviously.
All right, that's right. at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, thanks for joining us for the Riverdale After Show, and a big shout out to Jordan Calloway once again.
Yo, thank you for having me. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you.
You guys are great.
We'll see you next time, folks, here on AfterBuzz TV.
Now he's never coming back.
We creeped him out.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.